שבוע טוב ומבורך. ברוכים הבאים. We are studying ספר תהילים of דוד המלך עליו השלום. זכותו יגן עלינו ועל כל עמו ישראל. אמן. Tonight we are studying תהילים סמך תת. That's the 69th chapter of the תהילים. The chapter begins למנסייח על השושנים לדוד. Shoshanim are roses. It's an interesting opening of the chapter that David HaMelech is talking about roses. The theme of this chapter talks about the fact that the history of the Jews is different than any other nation. Most nations spend most of their existence in their homeland. The Jewish people, however, have spent more time outside of their homeland, Eretz Israel, than inside. The Jewish people have been in Galut for over 20 centuries. And whereas other nations cannot survive outside of their country, Am Yisrael not only continues to exist, but we have flourished in the exiles. I call to your attention that the greatest strides in Torah were done in Chutz La'aretz. The Talmud, for example, was written in Bavel. That was during an exile. And if I may fast forward to the era of the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ritba, the Rif, the Rashba, all the Sephardic Rishonim, where the Torah flourished in exile in Spain, where most of the Pirushim of the Talmud were also written and penned in exile. I fast forward to the Acharonim, the later rabbis, which many of them descended in Europe, in that area of the world, which also you see was Galut. And I bring you to our generation. Even in the United States, you see how much yeshivot, Baruch Hashem, we have, and how much Torah is flourishing, and how much learning is available. Just a few years ago, there was 20,000 people that got together just in New York to celebrate the conclusion of Shas. That already shows you that Am Yisrael not only continues to exist in Galut, but we flourish in Galut. We're like a rose. A rose, a shoshana, is a very delicate flower. If you just touch the petals, they start to pull off. The rose needs to be protected. So Borei Olam makes a row of thorns that surround the petals of a rose bush. And that's the same thing. The Jewish people are likened to a shoshana. And even though we've been exposed to so much persecution and anti-Semitism, the Torah is like the thorns that protects us and gives us our continuity and perpetuation. Shlomo HaMelech said, Keshoshana ben ha-hohim, like a rose amongst the thorns, ken la'ayati ben ha-banot. Shlomo HaMelech was referring that the goyim are like the thorns, that the thorns are trying to prick us and destroy us. But in another place he says, Sugaba Shoshanim, that the Jewish people are protected by the thorns. That's referring to the Torah. Torah is Am Yisrael's protector, and that's why the rose always remains intact. Because Am Yisrael always remained loyal to the Torah. And because of the Torah, we were able to endure the hardships and the dangers of the exile. And that's the theme of this chapter. I want to point out something that might be overlooked by many. When you studied history in school, they told you the following principle, that for a nation to become a nation, you need three things. You need a common value system, you need a common language, and you need a land. Let's take America. America has a certain value system. Whether we agree with it or not fully, that's another story, but there's a system. It also has a common language, English or Spanish, whatever it is. And it also has a land. You cannot have a nation without a piece of real estate. We can only imagine, God forbid, if Americans were exiled from America, it'd only be a certain amount of time where the American culture would be forgotten, if the American culture is hot dogs, or Chevrolet, or baseball, or apple pie, whatever the American culture is, after a certain amount of time, it would be forgotten. And former Americans would adopt a new culture of the environment that they find themselves in. American culture would be a thing of the past. Maybe it'll take 50 years, maybe it'll take 75 years, but after a certain amount of time, American culture will find itself only in the museums, only in the pages of history. You see, the land is very important for a country. Am Yisrael is the exception to this rule. We have been without a land, as I mentioned, close to 20 centuries. We've been exiled from the land of Eretz Yisrael. And we've been dispersed throughout. In the Galut, in the east, in the west, in all different places. But Am Yisrael still continues to adhere to its culture, which Judaism has not suffered as a result of the exile. Yes, I take it back, it suffered tremendously. But there's still Jews. And there's still Jews that adhere to its, the Tariq Mitzvot. That's an unbelievable exception to the rule. For close to 2,000 years, and you go to a Jew in Europe, and go to a Jew in America, and go to a Jew in the, somewhere in the Far East, they're all still wearing the same tefillin. They all still have the same arba kanfot. They all still have the same dietary laws. They have the same lemitet milachot for Shabbat. So you see, the Jewish nation did not become a nation on the day that we got the land. Yes, the land is important for us. The land is one of the 613 mitzvot. The land is precious to us. We need the land. But our nation does not depend on the land. What made us a people? The Torah. That's very important to remember that. Torah made us a nation. It's a Torah nation. Am Torah. Of course, in Torah keTorah Eretz Yisrael. Torah with Eretz Yisrael, that's the best. But a person shouldn't get misled by movements like the modern Zionist movement that proclaimed that the nation can only continue to exist if they have a land of their own. The early Zionists, they didn't have a love of Eretz Yisrael necessarily. In 1903 or 1904, at the famous Basel Congress in Switzerland, the Zionists got together and they took a vote that we need a land. What do you need a land? Because every nation needs a land. Now, our first choice would be Israel. But Israel is too difficult to pull off. So there was a movement that they wanted to purchase land in Uganda. Maybe you don't know this history. You can read it on the history books. And that Congress was deemed the Uganda Congress. Imagine that. They didn't have an interest in Eretz Yisrael. They were land, a piece of real estate, so you can get some cheap land from Idi Amin Dada in Africa somewhere. So let's all go buy it over there. To them, nationhood and real estate. Without real estate, you can't be a nation. We believe that our day of independence is on Matan Torah, is the day we receive the Torah. The Pasuk says, Hayom hazeh hiyeta le'am. Today you have become a people. That's the day when we accepted the Torah. Torah is able to preserve a nation. Maybe that's why there's an interesting custom that we have. I didn't see this brought down in Sefarim, but I think maybe this explains something. On Simchat Torah, that's the day where we revel with the Torah, and we dance and we sing, and the Sefer Torah is the centerpiece of the day. The custom is to give out flags. Isn't it interesting? All the children are waving flags. Flag Day usually is connected to Independence Day. That's when we wave flags. On July 4th, for example, in this blessed country, we hang our American flags proudly from our staffs in the front of our houses, in front of our homes. That's the day where you wave the flag. On Simchat Torah, the day of Torah, that's our flag day. That's our Independence Day. That's the day where we wave our nationhood. Because with Torah, you have a nation. Without Torah, there is no nation. That's one of the exceptions of history, the Jew. Torah is its protector. If that's true, I'd like to quote the first commander of the IDF, of the Israeli Defense Forces, in a statement that he made. The first commander of the IDF was a tzaddik by the name of Yehoshua bin Nun. You're not going to read about it in the current roster of generals. Yehoshua bin Nun was the first general. Am I making a mistake here? No. He took the army from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, and he fought not a 6-day war, a 7-year war. And he was victorious more than any other general. He ousted 31 monarchs that had their kingdom set up in Eretz Yisrael, and he rooted out 7 nations that were firmly established in Eretz Canaan. He then spent the next 7 years dividing up the land. Nobody's going to doubt if Yehoshua ben Nun loved Israel. He devoted his life to the conquest of the land and the division of the land. Yehoshua ben Nun, after one of his victories, wrote a poem. We read that poem every day. It's called Alinu Neshabeyach. He wrote it after he conquered the city of Yericho. And in that chapter, he says, Shelo asanu kegoye ha'arasot. What does he mean by that statement? God, you did not create us kegoye ha'arasot, like goyim that are dependent on their land. That's why it's called Goye Ha'aratzot. There's a link between the Goy and his land. We're not like that. Our dependency is on Torah. Now, for Yehoshua ben Nun to say that is a very important insight, because he's the one that conquered the land, and he's the one that devoted his life to the land, but he didn't get misled. He said, we're different. The land is a mitzvah. The land is precious. The Gemara Ketubot says, Kol adar b'chutz la'aretz kimi she'en lo elowa. Anybody who lives outside of chutz la'aretz is like he's godless. But benan. Nobody should misinterpret our comments here tonight. They're thinking, oh, see, the rabbi doesn't love Israel. Adrabah. Anybody that doesn't love Israel is reprehensible, is shameful. You're in contempt of the Torah if you don't love Israel. You have to love Eretz Yisrael. Torah says you have to love Eretz Yisrael. It's God's house. Should you go live in Israel? Absolutely. Should you support Israel? Absolutely. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about today something on a high understanding. That our nation remains a nation not because of Eretz Yisrael. And the proof is, because close to 2,000 years we were not in Israel. And still we're alive today. And well, Baruch Hashem, we're flourishing. Our nation became a nation of Torah. Shelo asanu kigoyei ha'arasot. Furthermore, there's a statement that says, Moshe Rabbeinu was compared to the sun. Pene Moshe kepne Hamma. Pene Yehoshua kepne Levana. Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun, literally. His face glowed. There was a light, there was orot, that were jumping off his face. You couldn't look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Chokhmat Adam Ta'ir Panav. It was like looking at the sun. So much so he had to put a masveh over his face so he doesn't damage the people. Yeshua ben Nun, his student, he wasn't like his rabbi. Nobody could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He glowed like the moon. I once heard from Rabbi Gifter, Alav Shalom, the Rosh Hashiva of the Telji Yeshiva. Rabbi Gifter said the following concept. When we think of Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah. That was his function, that was his purpose. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, he's the one that gave Torah to Am Yisrael. Moshe Emet v'Torato Emet. Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi. It's Torat Moshe. Yehoshua, on the other hand, is Eretz Yisrael. The relationship between rabbi and student, Moshe and Yehoshua, is the relationship between Torah and Eretz Yisrael. The sun has its own light. The moon, on the other hand, is a dark planet. It doesn't have any light of its own. It only receives light from the sun. So long as the alignment of the moon is in the right position, it receives an aura, it receives a light from the sun. But if the moon would go off its track and would spin off its axis, so it would not glean any light from the sun and would remain dark. That means for the moon to have light, it has to be positioned parallel to the sun. Moshe is Torah, that's the sun. Yehoshua is Eretz Yisrael, that's the moon. The moon only has value when it's positioned in front of the sun. Eretz Yisrael has value to us so long as it's positioned in front of the light of the Torah. Which means the land of Israel is not like another country, that you just have a government, and you just have Hokim Mishpatim Al Yidahom, and traffic lights, and buses, and airplanes. No. The country has to be a country that is in alignment with the sun. Then already, Eretz Yisrael has a tremendous value. That's why it's saying, Kepnei Moshe, Kepnei Hama, Kepnei Yoshua, Kepnei Levana, if you want the Levana to have Or, it has to be in front of the Or Torah. And that's what the Pasuk begins tonight to tell us. Lam naseya ala shoshanim le David. David HaMelech compares the Jews in exile
to Shoshanim, to roses, Samichtet. That even though the roses are very delicate, but it's the thorns, which is the Torah and its laws, that protect the rose from being destroyed in Galut. Also, the color of the rose is red. That represents the features of the exile. The Jewish people have a blood-stained history, like the red rose. But the rose also emits a fragrance, which represents to the fragrance of purity, that the Jewish people have given up their lives and died al Kiddush Hashem. So even though there's a redness of blood, much Jewish blood has been spilled, but the fragrance of purity is still there. Hoshi'eni Elohim, ki ba'u mayim ad nafesh. David HaMelech prays, save me, O God. Only God can save us from the exile. Kibau mayim ad nafesh. The exile is compared to a person that is drowning in water. Kibau mayim ad nafesh. The waters have reached until the soul. This is a very important pasuk to show us how the Jew looks at his exile. There's two problems that we face in Galut. Number one is the physical. The Jewish people have been physically tormented throughout the generations, including in our day as well. I don't have to remind you to the miserable events that took place recently in Mumbai, India, where the coroner in India, the medical examiner, said when he saw the Jewish bodies that were massacred, he said in his life he never saw bodies that were tortured like this. Even the baby that was saved had bruises on it. This is the exile, unfortunately, the Jewish people have endured. This is the Shoshanim, the redness of the rose. But David HaMelech says the Jew is not only worried about his physical situation, but he's also worried about what the exile does to him spiritually. And he says, Kiba'u mayim ad nafesh. We're worried about the effects that the galut does to the Jewish soul, to the nefesh. That's something that also concerns us. That we know that over the course of exiles, we have forgotten Torah. A lot of the assimilation that exile brings, a lot of the foreign culture that we absorb, that already has a negative effect on our neshama. And therefore, David HaMelech says, that we are concerned about even more than the physical, because the physical is temporary. But the damage that's done to the soul is something that is everlasting. Hoshi'eni Elohim kibau mayim, the waters of exile have reached ad nafesh. They have reached our souls. Tabarti biven mitzula. Ve'en ma'umad. Bati b'ma'amake mayim. V'shibolet shetafatni. I am sunk. Tabarti, I am sunk. Biven mitzula. Mitzula is the depth, the deep. And what is Yiven? Yiven is quicksand. Which means the Goyim introduce new lusts that we never had. And the Jew in exile gets drawn after these new ta'avot. The latest Yetzer Hara, the latest desire, the latest pleasure that the Goyim are selling. And unfortunately, David HaMelech says the Jew in exile goes after these pleasures and is drowning in quicksand. Which is, they cannot even figure out a way to get out of it, to escape. just like we're witnessing today. In our generation, the Yetzer Hara is very strong. Is it not true what David HaMelech said, Tamati v'ven mitzula, whether it's the drug addiction, that we're seeing the youth, they're drowning in quicksand. If it's the Yetzer Hara of Arayot and all these other things that are available so readily over the internet, over cell phones, texting, and all these other Yetzer Haras that are being produced every single second, and the youth are drowning in quicksand. And it's very hard to extricate them from this quicksand. Ve'en ma'omad. We have no stability. There's no foothold. Bati b'ma'amake mayim. V'shibolet shetafatni. There's a rushing current. Shibolet is a current. Which means the Jew is struggling to survive in this hostile environment, but the Yetzer Hara of the culture is so strong that it's like a current that's coming against us, which means Jewish ideals and values run counter to the prevailing society. And therefore to maintain our stability, our ma'amad, when we have the culture of the galut coming towards us like a freight train, like a Mack truck, so we're swept away by it. So David says, V'shibolet shetafatni, the rushing current of the culture of galut sweeps us away. Yagati bekori. So what does the Jew do in galut? He calls out to God. And we've been calling out for 2,000 years. And he says, I am wearied by my crying, like a drowning man, where his head is above the water, he's screaming to somebody, please save me, please. But after a while, he loses his voice. David says, Yagati bekori. Nihar Gironi, my throat is parched. I can't scream anymore. I can't cry anymore. I don't have my voice doesn't work anymore from the parchedness of the screaming. Hakol kol Yaakov ha'yadayim yedei Esav. Esav, his strength is in his yadayim, in his ammunition, in his sword. Am Yisrael, their power is in their kol. Hakol kol Yaakov. But we've been crying for so many years. Nihar Gironi, our throat is parched. Kalu enai miyachel lelohai. Our eyes have grown weak from anticipation. We were always looking with our eyes to see when the Mashiach is going to come. But we haven't even seen a glimmer of hope. And therefore our eyes are growing weak. Kalu enai. Miyachel lelohai, from anticipating the salvation of God. Rabu mese'arot roshi, sone'ai hinam. David HaMelech says, you know how many enemies I have? Who hate me for no reason. Sone'ai hinam, they hate me groundlessly. I have so many of those enemies, like the hair on my head. Just like the hair on a person's head is very... very much. So he says, the anti-Semites that hate me for no reason, they're like the hair on my head. The Gemara Gittin says, Kol ha-metzer li Yisrael la'asa rosh. Anybody that fights against Klal Yisrael becomes a leader. And therefore they have an incentive to go in. They know they'll fight against us and they rise the power. But why did David HaMelech compare the enemies of Klal Yisrael to the hair on his head? So Rav Ben Ishchai, in his Sefer Chayim V'Hashalom on Tehillim, he writes the following: Ki yadua she'asearot shel harosh hem romzim lekochot hadinim. the hair on a person's head represents deen, judgment. The hair on a person's face represents the hamim. That's why whenever you take a haircut on your head, not the ladies, the men, the kavanah they have to have is that you're cutting the dinim. He writes, "Lachin sarich le'lachem b'hem, v'lechaven be'ed giluach, shu'u ma'avir memenu kochot ha'dinim." That you're cutting the dinim off of you. Like it says by Rav Chaim Vital. And therefore, since the hair represents the judgment, the deen, so he compares the anti-Semites to Sa'arot Roshi. That's where all the dinim are. That's where all the troubles are. Atzimu matzmitai. They're very mighty. Which means you might argue that, so they compare to hair. How strong is one hair? One hair you can push back. Two hairs you can push back. But David HaMelech says, Atzimu matzmitai. Those that want to cut me down are very mighty, they're very strong. So even though I liken them to my hair, but they're still strong. And they're undefeatable. Oibai Sheker. He calls these enemies the enemies of falsehood. One of the means of anti-Semitism that Jews have suffered throughout the generations is the libels against us. Whether it was the falsehoods that they spread, that we drink their blood on Pesach, and we mix it with our wine, or we use their blood in order to bake the matzot, which is nothing further than the truth. Our Torah so many times says, "Lo tochilu al adam." And I always wondered, why did the Torah have to make such a strong, blatant mitzvah, don't drink blood? Who's going to drink blood? And the Torah maybe wanted to write it clear, so when the goyim come along and say, you're drinking the blood, we could show them it's asur for us. The Torah says it so many times, "Lo tochlu al adam, ki adamu an nefesh." But that doesn't stop them from making their false accusations against us. And that's only an excuse so they can come and kill Jews. The blood libel, whether it was in Syria, the famous blood libel in the times of Achim Abraham Antebi, or whether it was in Egypt, or the libels in Europe, in Poland. And therefore David HaMelech says, Oibai Sheker. Our enemies build their claims on falsehoods. Asher lo gazalti as ashiv. What I didn't steal, they make me return. They make false claims against us. You stole, but we didn't steal. And we're forced to return what we didn't steal. We're forced to give them bribes for crimes that we did not commit. This week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu is going to confront Esav. And one of the things he sends him is a hefty bribe. But Yaakov didn't do anything. But you're returning money that you didn't steal. Elohim, ata yadarta le'evalti, v'ashmotai mimecha lo nechadu. O God, you know my folly. Here Klal Yisrael tells Borei Olam, if the galut is strong on us, must be we have avonot. And therefore the goyim, they're not aware of our sins. They're punishing us because of the anti-Semitism. But oh God, you know the sins and our wrongdoings. And you knew that they came out of foolishness. It's an ivelet. Ivelet is a folly. Every time a person sins, it's a foolishness. The Gemara says, "En adam chote, ela im ken nechnesa bo ruach shetut." A person doesn't sin unless It's a temporary insanity that takes over him. And therefore, the Pasuk says, like we just read, Sunai Chinam. We have those that hate us groundlessly. Because when a person commits a sin for groundless reasons, there's no reason why a person sins a sin. It's shtut. So midah keneged midah. The one that sins against God, Chinam, God sends against us, Sunai Chinam, enemies that hate us for no reason. Ve'ashmotai mimecha lo nechadu. God, we say, my guilty acts are not hidden from you. Borei Olam knows that we went after our desires. The pleasures of this world were too strong. But the pleasures are sheker. It's fake. Sin is only appetizing at the time of sin. But after the sin is finished, we're filled with remorse. We're filled with guilt. When the Hachamim, when the poet said, ugly as sin. Sin is not ugly. Sin is very appetizing. The ugliness of sin is after the sin. When the sin is over, then you see the ugliness of sin. And therefore David says, V'ashmotai v'mechal lo nechadu, we have gone after sheker. We have gone after the falsehoods of sin, and that's why you're punishing us with oibai sheker. The false libels and the false accusations are midah keneged midah, that we went after falsehoods. Now I'm sure that the Anti-Defamation League doesn't accredit anti-Semitism to sins. They accredit it to different things. They're lobbying in Washington. David Amos is telling you anti-Semitism, a lot of it comes because of the sins that God is privy of. We sin b'chinam out of shtut, so God sends us goyim that are fighting against us b'chinam for no reason. We go after sheker, or by sheker. Al yiboshu bikovecha. Al yiboshu bikovecha, Adonai Elohim Sebaot. Al yikalemu bimevakshecha. Elohei Israel. Let them not be shamed through me, those who wait for you. Samechtet. The Pasuk is telling us, those that are waiting for their personal salvations, when they see the tzaddikim waiting for the redemption, and they see that they're not going to get answered, and they see that they're not getting answered, so they're going to lose faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and David says, Al yiboshu bi kovecha, which is when they see that I'm not getting answered for my request, that's going to bring a busha to me. Because they're going to stop requesting their salvation as well. Hashem Elokim Sebaot, God in charge of the legions, in charge of the armies, which means only God is able to redeem us. Al yikalemu bimevakshecha. Those who are seeking you, let them not be shamed. I'll explain to you what this means. Elokei Yisrael. On the high holidays, we make a tefillah. Part of the tefillah that we're praying to God is Pitchon peh lemyachalim nach. Please God, those that are miyachalim nach, what does that mean, miyachalim nach? Those that are anticipating your redemption. Those that are yearning for Mashiach, give us pitchon peh. Let us open our mouths, because now we can open our mouths. The goyim come and tell us, God has forsaken you. God has abandoned the Jewish people. For so many thousands of years you're praying, He doesn't hear you anymore, and we don't have anything to answer them. Because from the surface, that's what it looks like. They tell us you're the chosen people. Chosen for what? chosen for all this chas v'shalom bad occurrences that happened to you? We can't answer them. We just have to keep on telling them, you'll see one day. And the days go on and on and on. And we have nothing to say. When Mashiach comes, when the redemption is going to finally come, pitchon peh, we can open our mouths and finally tell them, you see, we told you so. Pitchon peh lam yahalim lach. Now we have no pitchon peh. Now our mouths are closed. Now our mouths are locked. They're tightly closed. We have nothing to say. So David HaMelech was praying, please don't embarrass me, God. Al yivoshu bikovecha. Al yikalemu mibibakshecha. The fact that we're not being answered brings us great bushan kelima. Ki alecha nasati harpa. We tell Borei Olam, because of you, we have borne humiliation. What does that mean? We've accepted the humiliation because of you. When the Goyim came to kill us, because we wouldn't baptize our children, it would have been very easy for us just to give in to the Goyim's request and bow to the Pesim and accept upon ourselves foreign deities. But we bore the humiliation and did not succumb to their requests. We did it for you. Therefore we're asking Borei Olam, you have to redeem us. Ki alecha nasati harpa, and for your namesake, we accepted upon ourselves this humiliation from our tormentors, because we kept true to the Jewish faith. Kiseta kelima panai. The longer we stay in Galut, it's a kelima. It's a disgrace. Because the longer we stay in Galut, the longer we give our oppressors a chance to disgrace us and say, God has forsaken you. Muzar hayiti le'echai. Ve'nochri le'bnei immi. We have become a stranger to our brother. Who's our brother? The Radak explains that this is referring to Yishmael. Because Yishmael is a half-brother of ours. Comes from the same father, Avraham, from a different mother. Muzar hayiti le'echai. Yishmael, that's our brother, doesn't treat us like a brother. We have been estranged by him. Galut Yishmael. V'nochri l'bnei immi. We have another brother that we share the same mother from. That's Esav. Esav is the Romans, the Galut that we're in as well. We're an alien to both our brothers, Yishmael on one side and Esav on the other side. And they're both coming against us. In previous generations, they came against us separately. Now already, we're seeing both of them, Galut Yishmael as well as Galut Edom, we're seeing it simultaneously. This pasuk is being fulfilled. Ki kinat betecha achalatni. Vechirpot chorefecha nafilu alai. The envy of your house has devoured me. What does this mean? Ki kinat betecha. The envy of your house has devoured me. I'm going to explain this to you in two ways. Why do the Goyim have such antipathy against us? Because they're jealous of us. Why? Kinat betecha. Because they know about the temple that stood in Jerusalem. Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. And they knew all the miracles that took place on Har HaBayit. And therefore that was a great source of jealousy that the great Kinat betecha achalatni. That caused them to rise against us. That's on a general level. But David HaMelech Alav HaShalom says on a personal level, when David was appointed to become the king of Israel, the prophet gave David the plans, the architectural designs of the Beit HaMikdash. He held them. Shaul HaMelech knew that he had these designs. That caused Doeg, the nemesis of David, to be very jealous of him, and he incited Shaul against David because of these plans that he held. So he writes on a personal level, Ki kin'at betecha, the jealousy ate me up because of the plans of betecha, of your house that I had. Vehirpot horefecha nafilu alai, and the humiliations of those who scorn you have befallen me. When somebody scorns the Jewish people, they're actually scorning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Borei Olam, it's Hilul Hashem, we're telling God. That as long as we're not redeemed from exile, as long as the Goyim scorn us, it's really directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we say in the Tefillah, we're asking to be redeemed, not for us. Umevi goel lebnei b'nehem lema'an shemo. God, we don't deserve to be redeemed. Maybe we don't have zechut avot anymore. Maybe the zechut ran out. There's an opinion like that that says the zechut avot ran out. There was a certain year that the zechut avot is on empty. So he asked Borei Olam, Vezocher hazde avot, if the zechuyot are still available, redeem us in the zechut of hazde avot. And if they did not, if they are depleted, umevi goel livnei b'nehem lema'an shemo. We ask God to redeem us for His name's sake. Because as long as the Jew is not redeemed, it's making Chilul Hashem. Va'ivke batzom nafshi. And I wept while my soul was fasting. All the fast days that we make during the year, Asara b'Tevet, Shiva Asar b'Tammuz, Tshua B'Av, Tzom Gedaliah, all these public fasts that we make to commemorate the Churban Beit HaMikdash. V'tehi l'charafot li. These fast days became humiliations for me. Because the Goyim said, all your fasting, and all your weeping, and all your sitting on the floor, and all your echas, and all your cryings, what did it get you? God is not listening to you. God has abandoned you. Va'etena levushi sak. I made sackcloth my garment. Jews throughout the generation had a custom to wear sackcloth as a sign of avilut. The sackcloth is made from the skin of izim, of goats. They wear the goat's hair, which is very uncomfortable, like a sackcloth, which is from goat's hair. They wear it on their flesh. This was introduced, the first one was Yaakov Avinu, that wore sackcloth. Why? The sackcloth is from the animal. When the person wears the sackcloth on his body, it's a sign of humiliation and repentance. As if he's saying, we act impulsively like an uncontrolled animal. Therefore we put the animal skin on our flesh. Va'ahi lahem lemashal. We have become Tirguim a synonym for all bad things. Anytime the Goyim want to talk about something despicable, they use the Jew as the example. Anytime they want to talk about something base, the Jew is the Mashal. Yasihu bi yoshve sha'ar. They gossip about me. Who gossips about the Jew? Those that are sitting by the gate. These are referring to the people that are going to the circuses. They assemble in the theaters. And who was the source of their entertainment and their comedy? Yosvei Sha'ar? They make fun of the Jew. The Jew is the butt of their jokes. And all their letzanut is made against us. But I'm going to tell you another interpretation of what it means. Yasihu bi Yosvei Sha'ar. Sha'ar also refers to the gate of the market. The marketplace is called the Sha'ar. In the Gemara, they always talk about Yoker HaShi'arim. The market price is going up or going down. The anti-Semites will attribute crises in the market. It's the Jews' fault. Inflation, it's the Jews' fault. Deflation, it's the Jews' fault. No matter what happens in an economy, Yasihu bi Yosvei Sha'ar. The libel will always be against the Jews that they're responsible. This is very, very unsettling, knowing that we're living now in a unstable time regarding the economy. As Jews, we have to be very concerned as well. Because that's what happens during these times. Somehow, the enemies unite, and the scapegoat has been the Jewish people. Lavdil in Germany, when the German mark wasn't worth too much, you saw pictures of ladies wheeling shopping carts of the German marks to go buy a loaf of bread. Of course, that faltering economy was blamed on the Jews as well. And therefore, there's something to be concerned. Unginot shoteh shechar. We become the song of even the drunkards. Not only the dignitaries on Wall Street and in government, Yosvei Sha'ar, but we become a laughing stock even of the lowlifes of society. Even those drunkards in the bar, drinking their beer, they're also making fun of the Jew as well. They deride us. We have to be concerned of this. Shoteh Shechar, they go to the bar and they start drinking. And they start to talk about their woes. This one lost his job. This one doesn't have any money. They have another drink. That's the only thing that can wash away their pain during times of economic hardship. One of the businesses that go up during bad economy is the bars. Because people want to drink away their pain. And then what happens when they start to drink a little? They start to say, oh, whose fault is all this anyway? Why did we lose our jobs? Ah, it's the Jews. And they start to point fingers. Look at those Jews over there on the avenue. They're still driving their fancy cars. They're still shopping in the stores. They're still spending all sorts of money. This is why David HaMelech is hinting to us that in the times of economic slowdown, everybody has to be low-key. We don't want to incite the Shoteh Shechar. Unginot Shoteh Shechar. We don't want to incite the song of the drinking drunkards. And then what do? They don't remain in the bars. They leave the bars with their clubs. They come out and they start smashing the property of the Jews. This is something that we've seen all too often. Whether it was the night of the broken glass in Germany, Kristallnacht, where they came out of their bars and thugs, and they destroyed all the Jewish property. Oh, I don't think I'm going to let you go on a bad note. ואני תפילתי לך אדוני את רצון אלוהים ברוב חסדך ענני באמת ישעך. But as for me, David HaMelech says, ואני, for me, תפילתי לך השם את רצון. My prayer is to you, Hashem, at an opportune time. And therefore, God, Elohim Berav Hazdecha, in your great abundance of kindness, Aneni, answer me, Be'emet Yishrecha, with truth of your salvation. What is this referring to? We're comparing the way we celebrate and they celebrate. When the Goyim celebrate, their celebrations lead to drunkenness, to lewdness, to crime. Shote Shechar, whether it was the party of Ahasuerus or every party since then, it's reveling that leads to violence, that leads to very promiscuous behavior, whether it's their parades, whether it's their celebration of their new year, whatever it may be. On our day of celebration, which is Shabbat Kodesh, yes, we go home, we have a beautiful seuda, we might drink a little, we're happy, we sing Pizmonim, but in the height of our celebration of the Shabbat, what do? We come back to synagogue for Mincha, and we take out the Sefer Torah. You have to know that that moment when God sees us taking out the Sefer Torah and Mincha, at that moment it's the greatest Et Ratzon of the week. Ra'ava de Ra'avin. It's the greatest moment of Ratzon because God says, look at the way the Jewish people celebrate compared to their celebration. Their celebration leads to trouble. And our celebration, at the height of it, what do? Everybody runs back to the synagogue, take out the Sefer Torah. That's why we have the Minhag and Mincha. When we take out the Sefer Torah, we say this Pasuk. Ba'ani, and it's for me. I'm not like the guys that were mentioned in the previous Pasuk. Unginot shote shechar. As for me, tefillati lecha Hashem et ratzon. That's why, for example, on Yom Tov in Mincha, we don't say Vani tefillati. Why? Because on Yom Tov Mincha, we don't take out Sefer Torah. The et ratzon comes from the fact that we read Torah. That's the climax of the day. The day doesn't end up in prison, in a jail somewhere, for rioting and for looting, or for bad behavior, for bad conduct. On the contrary, at the end of the day of our celebration of Mincha Shabbat, Sefer Torah. V'ani tefillati lecha Hashem et ratzon, and that's why it's considered et ratzon. It's a great moment, as you should know, if anybody has to pray for anything. The most opportune moment of the week to pray for something, is et ratzon, is Shabbat Mincha, when we're taking out the Sefer Torah. That might be the most auspicious time of the week to make a tefillah. David HaMelech is good, et ratzon. At that moment, we pray for the Mashiach. We pray for the Yeshua. I'm just going to conclude with one idea that the Mekubalim talk about. They talk about that at a certain point in history, there was certain nitzotzot shel kedusha that fell from the olamot into our world. And the goal is to retrieve these nitzotzot shel kedusha and return them back to the upper worlds. Can I tell you in 1 minute how to do that? Just do mitzvot and it'll find its place. The Zohar HaKadosh talks about Rapah Nitzotzot. Rapah is 288 Nitzotzot of Kedusha that fell into the Kelipah. I have good news for you. 202 of them have been recovered. There's only 86 left that we have to recover. I'll keep you posted. And as a result, once they get recovered, the 86, then already the tikkun is made. That's what David HaMelech is alluding to over here. Ve'ani tefillati lecha Hashem et rason. Elohim berov. Hazdecha. Elohim is 86. Rov is 202. Which altogether, Elohim and Rov is 286. That's the Rappah Nitzotzot. But, Berov Hazdecha, already the Rov, 202, Behesed, already we have been fixed. And therefore all we have left is Elohim. That's not what I'm saying. I'm going to quote it to you from the Ben Ish Chai. We'll leave with the Ben Ish Chai's words. The Ben Ish Chai says, Yirmoz ki Elohim ve'rav gematria lapah. Position Emar. Ve'ani tefillati shiye et ratzon shiye Elohim berav. Or Elohim berov. That we should connect the 86 to the 202. Shiu gematria lapah. Hazdecha. That means we're going to make a mituk. That we're going to make a mituka din on the chesed, the hasadim. And then already, anini be'emet yishu'echa, then already the yeshua will be able to come. This chapter could have been written 5 minutes ago. The explanation of the dynamics of the anti-Semitism and of the galut is still appropriate thousands of years later after the Tehillim was written. The musar for us is shoshanim, to stick to the Torah. The Torah has protected us from assimilation, from the stream of foreign culture. We learn from this chapter to be low-key in the times of economic downturn. And we also learn over here about the importance of Et Ratzon, of the way we celebrate and the way others celebrate, and the very precious moment of Shabbat Menhan when we take out the Sefer Torah. That's considered Et Ratzon, and Be'ezrat Hashem and the Zechut of David HaMelech Alav Hashalom that we've studied quite well tonight, some of the Pesukim. David HaMelech will be Militzioshir for us. Now we're going to go have Seudat Menave Malkah, Seudat David HaMelech Alav Hashalom, Seudat Avi'it. Hakiru Seudatah Demem Nutash Shil Matah Ad Batah Kadisha Dahi Seudatah Rabi A'ad David Malkah Meshihah Zechutoy Yagen Alenu Uba Lesion Goel Amen Ve'amen.